Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Justin. I work with our 6th through 12th grade students and their families, and I'm really excited this morning to open God's Word with you. I heard a story one time. It goes like this. Upon entering a little country store, a stranger noticed a sign saying, "Danger, beware of dog," posted on the glass door. Inside, he noticed a harmless old hound dog asleep on the floor near the cash register. He asked the store's owner, "Is that the dog that folks are supposed to be afraid of?" "Yup," the owner answered, "that's him." The stranger couldn't help but be amused. "That certainly does not look like a dangerous dog to me," he chuckled. "Why in the world did he decide to post the sign?" "Because," the owner replied, "before I posted that sign, people kept tripping over him." Now that dog is not a very effective guardian. If anyone tried to enter that store or take something, that dog would probably just be snoozing away on the floor. But today I want to talk to you about what it means to be a guardian and how God is our guardian and how he asks us to be guardians as well. So before we dive into God's word, let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. Thankful for you, thankful for the gifts that you give us, thankful for a day to celebrate the ministries of North Park, God. I'm so thankful for the students that decided to be baptized today, to commit their lives to you publicly, to proclaim that you are God and that you are real and you are who you say you are, and they put their faith in you, God. I'm thankful for our graduates, God, that we have a new generation coming up of believers who are going to go out into the world and be faithful to the gospel, God. You are doing amazing things, and I just pray that this whole time can be a tribute to really to you and what you're doing, and that we can celebrate who you are, what you've said to us, and how you're working in our lives, Father. I pray these things in your name. Amen. So I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, starting in verse 3. A little bit of background on the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is part of the pastoral epistles, or the pastoral letters. And what that is a collection of three books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And they're letters written from Paul to people that he is mentoring and discipling and training up for pastoral ministry, either Timothy or Titus. And so the book of 2 Timothy really is a deep and personal book, as opposed to Paul writing to churches. Paul's writing to Timothy, someone he's poured his life out to and is really invested in and discipled. And it's important to know the context. Paul is writing this letter from prison in Rome, and we believe that shortly before he was martyred for his faith. And so this is a time where Paul is in some dark circumstances, yet he continues to rejoice, and he's writing this letter to Timothy to encourage him, to say, you're next, passing on the torch for pastoral ministry. And so Paul's writing to encourage him, and he opens up in verse 3 by saying this, "I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul's writing to Timothy, and he reminds and remembers that Timothy has a faith that didn't begin with him. This was a faith that started with his grandmother and was passed to his mother and was passed to him. And Paul is communicating this idea of a generational faith that is passed down, that the faith didn't begin with Timothy, but it was something that was entrusted from generation to generation. And so we have the familial aspect of that from his grandmother and his mother. And then Paul also says, you have this gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. And so Timothy did not generate this faith on his own, but it was passed down to him through his family, and it was given to him through Paul. And really, that's a model of discipleship that we try to follow here, too, at North Park, where the family is super important in passing down the faith generation to generation, and our goal is to partner with the family and really build into people, and that's how disciples are really made. And so Paul talks about the generational aspect of it, and he just expresses that he has been so important to Timothy's life, that he invested in him, that he walked through life with him, that this partnership, Timothy was not just a student, but Timothy was a disciple, and they really lived life together, and Paul poured himself out for Timothy. And I just want to take a brief aside. I think that North Park, I'm really thankful that this is the place that I get to do student ministry, and I'm thankful for my position and my role of leadership in this ministry, but really our leaders of the students are really the backbone of our ministry. And as my goal is to train them and encourage them and lead them, but the students really look towards the leaders, and our adult volunteer leaders are the backbone of our ministry, partnering with the students, partnering with the parents, pouring into them. And so they don't like to be celebrated up front all the time, but if you look in the bulletin, their names are in there, and I really encourage you to say thank you to our adult volunteer leaders, because they are doing what Paul is talking about here and pouring their lives out for the sake of students. And so Paul says this, because of all this, he reminds Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so Paul is talking about this gift of God that Timothy has, and we're not sure exactly what that means. We know it could be either the Holy Spirit or some sort of spiritual empowerment, or maybe even just the gospel itself. But whatever this gift is, there's two aspects to it. It comes down from God, and God used Paul to give that to Timothy. And so in this process of discipleship, there's the vertical aspect. The gift comes from God. He is the father of all these good gifts, but he uses people to disciple other people. And so that's really, there's a vertical and there's a horizontal aspect to this gift. And he says to fan into flame the gift of God. Don't take this gift and just let it burn out. Don't just let it die out, but do something with it. Live out of it. Embrace the gift that you've been given, this heritage of faith, this sincere faith, this gift and empowerment of the Spirit. Live it out. Fan it into flame. Moving on to verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, as you go out into the world to preach the gospel faithfully, as you live as a believer, there are times where you're going to encounter fear. And you're going to be tempted to be afraid. You're going to be tempted to hide, to curl up into a ball and want to ignore everything going on around you. But he says that the Spirit of God gives us power and love and self-discipline. And we don't have to be afraid, because God has given us this gift. He's given us his Spirit. Because of that, verse 8, we don't have to be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Because of the Holy Spirit, because of the gospel, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of who God is. We don't have to be afraid of embracing those around us who are living for the Lord. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the power of God. That's the gospel. Graduates, as you move on to your next stage of life, this is it, right here. The gospel that Jesus Christ died for you, that he rose again, that he took the punishment for your sins, and that you can live eternally because of that. That's the core. Paul says, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Living a faithful life as a believer is hard. Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble, not you could have trouble, you will have trouble. And Paul says, that's why I'm suffering as I am, because I'm living for the gospel yet. And I love that yet, that turn. This is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What a blessing that is, that God is calling us into a bigger story, that he's inviting us to participate in the gospel, to have a relationship with him, and because of that, we don't need to fear. A life without Jesus is a life of fear and emptiness and meaninglessness, but God calls us into his purpose, into his grace, and he gives us the gospel. And because of that, we don't need to be afraid. And we can have freedom to commit our lives to Jesus. I love what Paul says there. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Graduate, put your life in Jesus. He is the only one who can protect you. He's the only one who can guard you. He guarantees it. The work he's beginning in you, he will carry to completion at the day of his return. Looking at verse 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Our job as a church for our students and as a student ministries team, we want to pass on this pattern of sound teaching. We want to give the gospel, this gift, this precious thing. That's the most important thing. And so I ask, what's important to you? Life is going to come at you, and you're going to have to make decisions about what is important. I challenge you to take this gift seriously. Take the gospel seriously. Protect it above everything. Protect it above your social value. If you're in a situation where living for Christ might mean rejection or disagreement, put the gospel first. Guard it. Guard it above your convenience. When you move into a stage of independence, graduates, you're going to have great control over your life. You're going to be able to decide to sleep in instead of going to church. You're going to be able to decide whether you read your Bible or not, or if you pray, or if you find community of believers. It's going to be convenient not to do all of those things. And if you just do them when you feel like it, then the enemy will make sure that you never feel like it. Protect your commitment to the gospel above your convenience and protect it above your life. I don't know what God has for every one of you, but I do know that he wants you to protect your commitment to the gospel. Guard it and put him first above everything. Paul does this even above his own life. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, because the gospel is the most important thing. And so as you move on, graduate to the next stage of life, protect it. Protect it. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, that was given to you by us and by your family. Guard it. And guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. Have confidence in whom you believe. God will guard you. Put your trust in him. Take the gospel seriously and guard that as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're good, and I just thank you for the encouragement that you give us, that you are our Father, that you love us, that you take care of us, that you guard us. You are wonderful. And I just pray for our graduates that we're celebrating this morning, that as they move into whatever is next for them, I pray that you bless them and guard them, guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that you help them to make the gospel the number one, to make their relationship with you the number one, above everything else, to take this good gift that has been passed to them and make it the priority. I pray that you help all of us to live that out as we go into our weeks, when life hits us, to make the gift the number one, to make the gospel our priority, God, because you have the power and you've made us promises. You've promised to protect us, to guard us, and we believe in that. Father, I thank you for your grace and the immense power that you demonstrate to us and the fact that we can live lives without fear because of who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.